It is November 5th all across Gitmo Nation. It is quite a special episode of No Agenda, mainly because it's early morning here for me today and late night for John, exactly the opposite of how the show is usually done, which means it's time for No Agenda, coming to you from a very exhilarated and excited morning here in the United Kingdom, Gitmo Nation East. I'm Adam Curry.
I'm John C. Dvorak, and I, for one, welcome our new Obama overlord.
Do you have a voice processor on your setup, John? What's going on?
Why, what are you getting, breaking up?
When you said, it sounds like you have like a Darth Vader voice.
Oh, yes. Well, it's a midnight, you know, so I...
No, this is not your normal voice. This is messed up. I kind of like it, though. do this. Obama, you are my president.
Obama, you are my president.
This is great. We'll leave this throughout the whole show. I don't know what it is, but it's it sounds wacky. Hey, John, congratulations. We have a new president.
Well, you know, the funny thing is they're protest. You didn't get to watch all this because you were sleeping, but they were protesting. I mean, there was a big gathering outside of the White House.
Oh?
And yeah. And they were singing like, you know, that song, Hey, Hey, Goodbye, da 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 da.
Yeah, okay.
And there were also signs saying, you know, evict Bush now.
Well, he pretty much got his notice, didn't he? Isn't it like, this means he's out?
Well, the thing is, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, like the last couple of days, and there's some rumors going around that Bush was going to declare martial law, and he was going to do this, and he was going to do that. I was cracking up every time I heard one of those concepts, because the way I'm seeing it, and the information that we're already hearing about, Bush wants to get out of there tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, if you got people hey-haying you like MTV's remote control on your front lawn, I think that might kind of spur you along there.
Yeah, well, so they're going to do a quick transition, and then I think he's going to bail out before the deadline.
Hey, John, this is nuts, man. I can't listen to you like this. You're too Darth Vader-y. Let me just bring you back in 1 second. Otherwise, it'll drive me nuts.
Okay, so I'm not have normal voice, right?
Yes, you do. Much, much better.
You know what it was, I think, that was causing that crazy voice?
It was clearly a sample issue somewhere.
I had Cast Blaster up.
I knew it. It was a sample thing. So I shut down while I really didn't have to. You shut down Cast Blaster in the meantime?
Yeah.
Yeah. So before we go any further, can I just say two things? I'll take that as a yes, you may.
Yeah.
One, to the rest of the world, regardless of what anyone thinks of Obama as president, can we now please, once and for all, lay to rest that America is a racist bunch of fuckers? Because that, I think we've pretty much proven that, and all the jokes that are always made in the media, particularly in the United Kingdom, about the South and how racist we are, could we all just stop that now? Because
is that your idea of a Southern accent?
No, that is an exact replication of how the British do a Southern accent.
Wow, they really suck at it.
Yeah, they sure do. Anyway, so that's like the number one thing I'd have to say, the number one takeaway right now.
Okay, well, I think it's probably a plus.
No, it's a super plus. It's a super plus. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I'm in total agreement with that. And in fact, everybody's all jacked up worldwide. You know, I'm thinking, gee, they really are preoccupied with the USA, aren't they?
Well, I was just watching the morning shows over here, and they're doing man on the street interviews, and probably five or six of the sound bites is like, you know, maybe in 10 years in Britain, we could have a black prime minister. 10 yeah. years that they predict.
Yeah, there how many black people are even in Britain? So
we got plenty of black people. What are you talking about?
No. So anyway, there was a number of points I was watching this thing on. You missed a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, I had to go to bed around 2:30. That was just too. You know, after that, I'm like, fuck it. I'll see you in the morning.
Right. So the one good piece of news here is that at least the guy's not a Yale graduate. So that's a big deal.
And John, I mean, you can't say the one good piece of news. I mean, at the end of the day, as Americans, what we always do is we always say, okay, you know, all right, he's our new president. We'll get behind him. That's what we do.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing he's going to have to stop doing is, and I don't like, the, and I think, he, you know, somebody's going to have to, I don't know what they're going to do to
speak,
get
speak
him to
him sternly, yes?
They have to stop doing these big events.
Yeah, that's getting a little sicko, I agree.
Well, besides the sicko part, I mean, it's dangerous. Sorry. I mean, all the things we've done, people talk about, they don't like to really discuss this too much, but the one thing we don't need is somebody taking a shot at this jerk.
Right, well, but he had that huge bulletproof wall of glass in front of him at his acceptance speech.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and it wasn't in front of him. It was really interesting what they had done there, and I think it was a good idea, but they were walking off away from it. I mean, this guy has got to be, he's got to be given his opportunity. I mean, we just don't want some...
No, that would be... I totally agree.
...something bad happening. Yeah. I mean, this guy needs to be protected to an extreme.
Yeah.
So...
I've got an idea. Let's redouble Homeland Security. And let's redouble our efforts in... I'm sorry. That is the plan.
How about, how about this? Just stop doing these big events or do stuff, you know. Anyway, so he had the two glass things on the side, but there was nothing in the front that I could see.
I saw a whole documentary yesterday. It looked to me like it was, three quarters, sides and the front. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I didn't. Well, here's what it looked like to me, because they shot it from different angles. They had the sides covered, but the front was kind of like, it looked as though the front didn't go out very far. It wasn't like the whole audience could see him from the front. Most of the people were off to the sides. Mm. The front kind of had an ending, and it looks like that part that where he was speaking to the front was maybe some area that was where they'd actually checked people. I mean, that may have been a group that had been secured.
At the end of the day, John, if someone wants to get anyone, they can get him, and there's clearly no... there's no orders for this. That's how it works. Our president's get assassinated by organization. I don't believe they're nut jobs. They're probably the CIA.
It's a little late in the night for me to get into this.
Okay, don't worry about it.
You should go look at your email and take a look at that thing I sent you.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. Of course.
Okay.
I'm in total
agreement. We're watching this. Here's some notes that I took. This is kind of interesting. So we saw Jesse Jackson. You know, so they kept putting the camera on him. And at one point, Jesse Jackson is in tears. So my wife starts going into like a comedy act about this. You know, it's like, oh, no, I'll never work again.
She's doing his thought bubbles.
Yeah, I really screwed up this time. You know, just in tears.
Oh, that's funny.
And he just didn't look. You have to wonder, you know, what he was thinking, and where was Hillary, you know, and Bill? They must be just beside themselves.
Well, it's so hard for me to tell, because the coverage of the election, because I specifically watched a lot of UK coverage to see what messages were coming through over here. There's none of that. I mean, absolutely. It was, in fact, the BBC did. Such a sorry ass job. Of covering this. And what was funny, John, was around 11 o'clock last night, that's when the polls on the East Coast closed. They had this big, election, and then they come to the host, and the guy's like, we don't really have any numbers. You know, it's like a huge anticlimax, because they don't understand, and the way that they don't even explain it. No one understands how this works. They must think we're a banana republic no matter what. Like, what is this electoral votes, and what is all this crap, and how come you don't get all the answers in one go? Bad.
So another thing I noted, I was reading some bloggers' comments and some stuff on my blog, and then I was reading in The Atlantic, which has a lot of Democrat apologists, and... they all, not all of them, but a lot of the Democrats listened to Obama's acceptance speech. By the way, I thought John McCain's, you should go back and listen to John McCain's.
I caught the tail end of it, yeah.
The whole thing was better than any other speech he's ever given. You know, it was kind of like uplifting in a certain kind of a way, and a let's get together. Well, I thought it was actually quite good. I mean, better than he has been performing until then, which is typical of a lot of these guys.
What is the word I'm looking for when you say, okay, I give up, you won?
Yeah, the...
Concession speech.
Right. speech.
That obviously was written 2 years ago when they decided Obama would win. Okay, I'm sorry.
Again, it's a little
good morning.
Too late.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing? I'm just drinking my first cup of tea here. I'm getting ready for the day.
So, and I thought Obama's speech, where everyone's, oh, it's the best. Somebody wrote in, it's the best acceptance speech ever.
I didn't think so.
There was not
smile.
One takeaway. There's not one takeaway.
I agree.
It was basically one of his stump speeches with a thank you,
without a smile at the end. It was like,
I mean, it was
serious.
The same, right? I thought it was crappy, to be honest about it. Just to be straight up,
yeah.
I think he could have made it shorter. I think he could have, let the, party begin. He could have done a lot of different things, but he just essentially redid one of his old speeches as though he was still running. In fact, I was sitting there with my wife who voted for Obama. And,
does she mind you telling everyone that? I mean, isn't that supposed to be one of the great secrets you're allowed to keep for yourself in the United States?
You can if you want to. You don't have
I know, but did she okay for you? Because I was amazed when I called you earlier. You said, "Yeah." I said, "Is that Mimi?" You said, "Yeah." But she voted for Obama. That's not really nice.
I'm just kidding. So anyway, she agreed that it was like, why are we listening to another campaign speech? I mean, it should have been something, I think, unique. But I think we're going to be listening to a lot of the same speech from this guy for the next 4 years, because he's one of the things he seems to be is a kind of a motivational, inspirational speaker. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, if he doesn't do anything else, it's still a step up from Bush, who can't speak. I don't think he's ever given a decent speech. And at least there's nothing else is going to make people think a little, I think it's going to make people conceptually more erudite. In other words, it's going to be, the president sets the moral tone for the country and sets a lot of standards. And if this guy's like a really good orator, which he is, I think it maybe will improve the way people talk. I don't know.
Well, in general, I'm obviously very happy that the United States got the president that that it wanted. I think that was very clear. I think it's obvious that there was no trickery going on at the polling stations. I don't think the vote was rigged. It seems like this is pretty much the consensus across the United States. Of course, the sad thing is that America gets exactly what it wanted. And so,
well, what they wanted was to get Bush out of it. I mean, I think everyone's sick of him.
Of course. Well, that's part of it. Absolutely. There's a lot
of Republican areas that, this is going to, the problem is I think the Democrats are, thinking that this is a mandate when it's just really a rejection of not.
Correct.
Instead of a mandate for them to go crazy and spend money and do all their stuff they want to do, it's really kind of like we're sorry we put Bush in, here, go you try it.
Well, and this is what a lot of people in the rest of the world don't immediately understand, is that this is not just a presidential election, but there's also a congressional election that took place at the same time. And now we have a very unique combination of the Congress, the Senate, and the executive branch, the presidency, being held by, at least the blue color of the one-party system we have in the United States. But this will be very interesting to see, because now basically it's, okay, Democrats, go ahead, show it.
Yeah, show us what you got. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's definitely, the one thing about this country is it's so, it's hard to, although Bush managed to do it, but it really took him a while. I mean, it wasn't like things started falling apart immediately, but it took him a while to get to the point where he almost broke the country.
To alienate everybody. It took him a couple of years there, but he got there eventually.
Yeah, it took him a while, though. I mean, the ship of state is like, it doesn't move that fast. And I don't know how much we're going to, as I find Obama's cadence a little, hard to handle. It's just like the same, it gets to me after a while.
Yeah,
but
the
to
same
be honest
rhythm.
About it, I'd rather listen to him than Nancy Pelosi, who I just really grates.
Patricia was telling me that Obama had speech lessons early on because they really worked on his delivery, and perhaps that cadence is really something that has been trained. Did you ever hear anything about that?
Yeah, there was an article. No, you have to go back and read the article that was in Vanity Fair.
Ah, okay.
Apparently, Obama had a very professorial style of speaking that would just basically put people out.
Right.
So I think they've added that kind of that weird cadence that he has, which eventually some mimic will really nail it and we'll all be able to copy it. But no one's done that yet. But and people have tried. I mean, Frank Caliendo, who's one of the great, you know, mimics that we have, impressionists, he can't do it. Hmm. And, you know, and he's like unbelievable. I mean, he does everybody. And so, but once they get it, I think we'll all be able to like copy it because it's pretty distinctive. But I heard him in that one of the things he did on a public broadcasting show that I believe was done before, very early in his career. Somebody had brought, had made a copy. This is floating around where he. I don't think he had the public speaking training at the time, and it wasn't. It didn't seem that much different. It's just that he didn't just have, I think what he does now is he kind of pounds home points in a certain kind of professional way.
Yeah.
That is what we're looking at. And he also has pauses that are pretty dramatic. He does that very well.
It's all a part of the presidential public speaking training. And the thing that, of course, every politician does is, you know, you put your thumb over your index finger so you're not pointing at people, but you've got your thumb thing, almost like you're holding a $10 bill between your forefinger and your thumb, offering it to people.
Right. The Kennedy pinch.
Yeah. Oh, is that a Kennedy thing? Did he originate that?
As far as I never saw anybody do it before he did.
And God knows you've been around, you would know.
I'm trying to think back if Lincoln was doing something like that when he was speaking.
What a setup.
I just can't quite remember. I think I was a little too young then.
That was before there was a Lincoln bedroom. Oh my goodness.
But he does this. He does the pinch thing, and he does it with kind of like he's shaking the, you know, like he's got dice in there. He's up and down with his hand, although it's slow. This will be copied because it is very distinctive, and it's something you can mock.
Well, one other thing, I guess what we'll all be waiting for now is cabinet selection.
Well, the one thing that's interesting about him is he has, at least with, except for a couple of guys that were booted out of his campaign early on, most of his choices have been, except for these early guys that were booted out early because they weren't performing. I mean, he wasn't like Hillary, who just let the, you know, these incompetents run her campaign for a really long time. He was pretty good at moving. You know, or improving the staff to the point where he had just an horribly slick, you know, group of people that just killed McCain. I mean, poor McCain was just buried. And the worst part about this election, according to some people, I mean, for one thing, campaign finance reform is done.
Yeah.
And one, you know, I mean, that's just over because they said that the combined is a little over $1 billion combined, these two guys,
you know,
collected.
CNN had a report last night because I've heard the same numbers. It was about $690 million spent by Obama and the balance of $1 billion spent by McCain. But then last night, CNN, all of a sudden, they had $1.6 billion on the screen. And they had $900,000 by McCain. And it was really weird because I'm like, wow.
$900 million,
yeah. It was really weird. I'm like, wow, you know, that's the numbers I've seen. And CNN had it on screen. So it must have been a mistake. But regardless, that does hammer home, I feel, my point that America still chooses its presidents like washing powder. And if you have enough money, you can become president.
Marketing. Well, I think it'd be a lot to overcome the Bush legacy in this case. But
that still took $700 million.
Yeah, it's true. But the one thing that somebody said, though, and I just as soon as they said it, I said, oh, brother, this is going to be interesting. There must be some way of getting, you know, into this circle. Somebody mentioned, well, you know, he spent close to $1 billion. But when you think about it, is that really a lot of money to get this job?
Oh, my God. You know?
And as soon as that suggestion was made, I thought, oh, brother, that's exactly, he nailed it. This is going to become a $1, $2, $3, $4, and $5 billion
job
effort.
Yeah. Yeah. And what no one ever asked themselves is, where did that money come from? Where, who paid that money?
Well, it's all nickels and dimes, you can't trace it.
No, please. It is not all. I mean, doesn't everyone realize that this is, and though that money is being spent partially from, the Democratic Party, which I believe there's no limits to what you can donate. So this is just what was spent, but, you know, huge corporations give money to their parties. In fact, they usually give to both, right?
Yeah.
Like, Wall Street corporations. Let's see, maybe guys that, maybe you'd bail out. In fact, isn't it interesting that $700 million is about what we gave to them in the first place?
Coincidence.
Times 100.
Well, the argument I've always made is that campaign finances was never going to go any place anyway. I mean, this just exaggerated the problem because of the fact that one guy took public funding. But I've always felt the media would be the group that's most, would be most against all this because they're the ones that would lose in the deal because they need, the money goes to the media. Well, most of the money.
It. What do you mean? They are against it. They're not saying they want campaign finance reform. I don't hear that. No.
But the thing that I thought was funny about this particular election, because I had a blog that Obama won, because a couple of my bloggers would have probably liked to put it in, but I saw it, you know, we went to get it was my wife's birthday today, and so we went to our favorite sushi bar. And so, you know, it was obvious by 7 o'clock West Coast time that Obama had won the election, but these networks were, I at first thought they were getting a little gun shy because they got more gun shy since the 2000 election where they got screwed.
Right.
But no, it wasn't what it was. This thing was so over and done with that they were thinking, holy crap, we can't declare this thing over because look at all these commercial ads and things we got coming up for the next hour or two.
We need people to watch our cool touch screens. They can't just like give them the information now. That would be wrong.
So it was all on all these networks and every place. So it was too close to call, too close to call, too close to call. No, it wasn't too close to call.
Oh, that's funny.
They were stalling.
Oh man. Yeah, you're so right. Of course they were. I could just hear the IFBs. I can just hear, you know, the voices in the little earpieces. Okay, you got to stretch it out. Stretch it out. We need to make it to the next commercial break. Stretch it out.
Yeah, and what they were all, I think, doing, because, you know, especially the cable networks, they all listen, they all watch each other in the control rooms. They have all the different channels going at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And you know they're going, has CNN declared yet? No. Okay, then we're not declaring. Is Fox, what are they doing? No. They're going along with CNN. They're going to hold back.
For people who don't think that actually happens that way, it's on every single level. When I was working at Z100, number one radio station at the time in New York, they had light bulbs. And they had a light bulb for each of the competing stations within the music radio market. And when that station went into, when a competing station went into commercials, the light bulb would go on. And that's when we'd play like a number one hit. I mean, this is very competitive in the U.S. broadcast market.
Yeah. So now the one interesting thing that took place on CNN is that they have developed I don't know how far they're going to go with this since they're going to keep doing it, but they've developed a virtual hologram mechanism of some sort that they actually use in the studio. Where they take a reporter, and you can read about it. If you blog it, you'll find, or blog it. If you Google it, you'll find some references to it. They did a reporter, and then they did one of these, a rapper, I Am, whatever his name is. I can't remember. I actually met him in Korea, a big Obama supporter. Anyway, they use 35 cameras. And they put some person in a little spot where these cameras are surrounding them. And then they somehow, I don't know if they're doing this with a green screen on the other end. I don't even know how it works. I'm going to have to find out. But it actually looks pretty cool, but it's a little corny at the same time.
I'm looking at a page right now. Yeah, this is, absolutely. This is holography. So I see a reporter standing in the, it seems like the reporter is standing in the same room as Wolf Blitzer.
Right.
But she's not really. She's beamed in.
No. She's beamed in. But I'm not sure if Wolf's actually seeing her. This is what I don't know. Well, I don't know if this is a creation.
Hey, they're good. They're not that good, dude. It's not like Star Trek where Wolf Blitzer. Well, I don't know. Wolf Blitzer might be seeing her.
I don't know what Wolf Blitzer's looking at, but whatever the case is, they can move the camera around this image somehow. But I think, I don't know, I just first saw it today. I have no idea what the deal is. Why, you know, with 35 cameras is obviously doing something that's...
Yeah, 35 HD cameras strung together in a ring around the subject, becoming the image, or beaming the image in 3D back to New York. I'm sorry. You're right. We don't know what Wolf Blitzer is seeing. But he's probably just looking at the monitor like a weatherman.
Who knows?
That's too bad I didn't see that live. I'll have to check that out in some YouTube clips. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting. But, you know, I would like to see somebody report on it to explain to us what's actually going on instead of these vagaries. I mean, this is the kind of reporting we get. 35. We know about 35 cameras and a beam back a holographic image, but what... You know, we don't know anything at all, actually. Yeah, that doesn't tell me anything.
That's about what I'm finding here in The Guardian. What still wasn't apparent, though, was whether the hologram was actually appearing in the CNN studio or was merely being overlaid on the picture for viewers at home. So they don't know either.
They don't know either. I mean, that's what I'm thinking, too. I mean, but you'd think somebody would report on it.
But it's cool. It looks cool.
It looks kind of cool. It's got a glowy look to it. You know, there was this, you know, if you remember I think it was the Next Generation or the Star Trek, the one where they, I don't know which one of the many Star Treks there were.
Yeah.
They had experimented with, you know, they have, the communicator and they talk to the people in the other spaceship. In a couple of episodes, they had experimented with actually doing the holographic image in
the theater.
Not in the theater, but inside the control cabin, wherever the main operational room, whatever they call it.
You mean the bridge?
The bridge. They were on the bridge. Hey, it's late for me.
Yeah.
So they were on the bridge, and this image would pop up. And they've done this on other science fiction stories too. And it was kind of a cool effect, and it was like something that probably would exist, but I was thinking about why they didn't just stay with this idea for future episodes, and I realized it must have just cost too damn much to make the special effect.
Yeah. Well, they've had projection systems that can do this for more than 15 years, because they had that presentation in Hollywood. I remember quite clearly reading about it. Where they brought everyone in, including Spielberg. And then, you know, guy comes out on stage in one of these private movie screening rooms and he says, okay, what you're about to see is, you know, is the future, blah, de, blah, de, blah. And then all of a sudden, the guy just disappears because he was actually a hologram and everyone was convinced that guy was real. This technology has been around for a long time, but is it expensive? Yeah, you better believe it.
Yeah, it's probably too expensive. It's probably not practical. For that reason.
Now that we move to digital on all of our television broadcast stations throughout the United States in 2009, who knows? Maybe there'll be maybe we'll get that kind of stuff. Maybe we'll get holographic television.
I'm not thinking that's going to happen. So that's about it. So the whole night was kind of anticlimactic. I mean, we knew who was going to win. The whole thing, boiled down to a couple speeches at the end and a big crowd, which I thought was going to get out of control in Chicago. They were predicting 500,000 to 1 million people,
yeah.
Which is like, why would you be wanting that many people, you know, or even suggesting it? I mean, that's just asking for trouble.
Well, I think there's a, you know, John, I got to say, I even though this, I think we all know my opinion. I get real patriotic at these moments, you know, and of course everyone wants to celebrate. And so 500,000, a million, you know, it's like we're in a state of euphoria. That's what we do. We're going to be vibing on this all the way through the weekend, at least. When's the next football game on?
There's college games actually there's usually a couple games on Thursday night and Friday night, and big college games, a lot of good ones coming up this Saturday, and then of course the professional. So we probably got you till Saturday.
Till Saturday, then we'll be on to you know, important stuff. College ball.
Yeah, I got USC playing Cal. That should be good.
See, you even know the games.
Well, I know that one. So. Anyway, so I don't know. I was just kind of like, I was kind of disappointed, to be honest about it.
Really?
Except for the Jesse Jackson in tears. That was just too much. You're just like, wow.
Well, I have to agree. I mean, I'm not disappointed about anything. And again, I think this is great for America because it shows that we all can unite, even if we're uniting against something that probably isn't the right thing. It doesn't matter. The union is does show what America can do, and I'm really proud and of that. I'm very patriotic. But from a, I'll have to agree with you, from a show perspective, I mean, this was not the way the series should end. You know, that speech was not the right end. I mean, there's got to be something much better to really finish this off before college starts on Saturday. Otherwise, yeah, then we'd have a real bummer season of the election show.
Well, they're probably going to milk the thing a little bit with, you know, who the, you know, we're going to start hearing about who the various cabinet members are, and that should be interesting. Yeah. And I suspect it's going to be a lot of Clinton people from the Bill Clinton administration. You know, there's going to be the same political hacks. I mean, you have to have people to know what they're doing. You can't just bring in a bunch of professors that don't know anything. So it's going to have to be some group that's been in there before, and that means... I mean, what's the last Democrat that's been in office? Been Clinton. I mean, before that, yep. You have to go back to Carter, and those guys are probably all dead.
Except for Brzezinski.
Right, Brzezinski. That's the one guy that's your favorite guy.
Yeah, that's the guy running the show.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Maybe true. So on another matter, we went to... see some, my daughter does improv, and so we went to see some stuff here in San Francisco, and we walked right past, it was at the, the Fort Mason, and we walked right past an event that if you were in town, and apparently my wife went out of her way not to tell me about this.
Oh man, don't tell me there was another David Icke show.
A 2012 convention.
Oh crap. Oh, man. And we missed it. And she went out of her way not to tell you?
That's what she says.
Oh, man. Take it from the people who love you, huh?
Well, anyway, I went in there anyway, just to go wandering in. And, I wouldn't have gone.
I would have loved it, right?
You might, but I'll tell you, it was like walking into, you just had the vibe of certifiable insanity.
Was it the vibe of 2012's coming doom and death, or salvation is coming, the ascension?
No, they're the doom and death types.
Oh, okay. No, I don't like those guys. I'm not into that.
And, I mean, end of the world, 2012.
No, it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of the new world, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Well,
maybe I have to go back and look at this, some of the flyers that I grabbed. But I get the sense it was, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Whatever it was creepy. And they were all dressed weird, and I, you know, it was just kind of...
Now.
And they look at you weird when you go in.
Okay. Narc. He's got to be a narc. Look at him. He's got narc written all over him.
I didn't have narc written all over me.
Uh-huh.
They immediately wanted to sell me. I should have bought this thing. It was only $10. They wanted this immediately. As soon as I walked in, here's the poster from the event and all the autographs of all the different speakers on it.
I've always wondered when we go out to dinner, all these classy restaurants. I was just wondering together, do we look like you're my gay sugar daddy?
You know, I don't think so.
You sure? Because, well,
yeah, I'm pretty sure, because you can tell. I mean, for one thing, I don't think we give off any gay vibe.
I do.
And the other thing is, I don't think anyone in San Francisco notices one way or the other or cares, because there's a lot of...
True. There's a lot of gay couples. Sugar daddies.
I don't look like, well, since you're picking up the tab, you know, it kind of proves I'm not.
But you're refining me in life. You're showing me which wine to drink. And so I can cultivate myself.
Yeah, but I never really do that. We just buy the wine and drink it. It's not like I ever explain anything.
I'm just wondering. What are you explaining all the time? We're always talking.
No, it's mostly I'm just giving you the ridiculous anecdotal material about this wine and the winery and where it came from
kind of
stuff. I don't really describe, but that's different than what you would do if you were like trying to get somebody up to speed on their palate.
Yeah, but from a distance, you know, and then we're always talking about our gadgets. You know, I think there's a lot of gayness to us, John. I'm sorry. It's just as an outsider, I think we would actually register on gaydar.
At least we're in the right neighborhood. For it.
Yeah, true.
It's like, you know, get beat up in Chicago.
You don't know. You even get beat up in Amsterdam for being gay these days. It's fucked up.
I mean, it's fun. You get beat up in Amsterdam.
It's true. That never, ever used to happen. The tolerance level, of course, was so high, and that's dramatically changed over the course of the past decade. It's really, it's become sad, really sad.
I wonder what's changed in Holland that would make...
Well, I can tell you that. Any Dutchman can tell you that's the immigration. Immigration of Moroccans, predominantly.
Yeah.
Who culturally do not fit with a gay culture in general.
Well, there's a funny irony in California because they had run this Proposition 8, which was a...
Did that pass, or what's the deal?
It looks like it's going to pass.
Oh, no. I mean, so that's bad, right?
It's bad. It's good. I mean, I don't care. But the point is that there was a passage of a no gay marriage something some years ago. The state didn't want gay marriage in the state for some reason, which is weird because, San Francisco is fairly gay. And
you don't say.
But, it's not the whole, it doesn't represent the whole state. Yeah. But then the courts got a hold of this in some case or other and then reversed, said this is bull and gay marriage is now legal, which was like going from, one extreme to the other. And so this became kind of an issue. And so a group got together and said, no, we're going to pass a constitutional amendment. That was the Yes on 8 thing. And the irony is that because Barack Obama, who all the gays help vote in, brought out so many black voters, like everyone, 96% of all the voters that were black were voted for Barack, but a lot of them are new. They never would never vote normally. So they all came out, and with few exceptions, most of the black community is against gay marriage. So you had this very interesting kind of here's the good news and here's the bad news about, from the same group.
Do you have that?
I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was ironic in a very fascinating way.
You have that on statistics that most of the black community is against gay marriage? Is that what I just heard you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, and it was well documented. In fact, they
Oops.
Your interview, black community, which is many religious people, the blacks, generally speaking, were way on the yes side of this issue.
Wow. But I'm just Googling around. I don't see any final result. I guess we won't know that until the morning.
Well, it's pretty close. But, it's both sides are hoping for the best, but I think it's going to pass.
And passing means that that would ban gay marriage.
Right. Back to square one.
Oh, man.
So I personally blamed, in fact, I have this clip. I'm going to probably start using it on Tech 5. I personally blame Gavin Newsom because he came out and after the Supreme Court made gay marriage legal, and of course he's made it legal for him by fiat for a while in San Francisco. But once they did that, he made a speech kind of throwing it in everyone's face, and he used this comment. Nothing you can do about it now, in a very mocking way.
Right.
Nothing you can do about it now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that got used by a lot of the advertising for the pro side. And I think it was very detrimental that this guy would come out and start, flaunting it.
Yeah, that's not only unprofessional, it's unsportsmanlike.
Well, it didn't help the cause, let's put it that way.
Oh.
So I blame him.
Yeah, well, typical.
No, this guy's got the problem with Gavin Newsom, and people out there who don't know who this guy is, you can look him up on Google and take a look at his picture. He looks a little like a Treat Williams type actor. He's a really good looking guy who is always dating models, and he's got a lot of charisma. And you can see that they're grooming him as a governor type, for the Democrat Party.
Totally, yeah.
And you could see he would like to be president or something like that. But I think he's just a little too
icky.
Off. He's a little greasy.
Yeah, icky, greasy. Yeah, exactly. Huh. Well, so I guess the stock market will go crazy then today.
Let's see if what the pre-market looks like.
Yeah, what are futures saying? I bet you they're up. We had a 300 point uptick today on the Dow on the eve of the elections.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, the market's been going up because of this. You know, once the guys, one of the two guys is, hold on a second, in. It would have been, it would go up with any, either one of them, generally speaking, right after elections. You know, it's like, and it takes uncertainty out of the picture. Now you can start to figure out what you want to do. And so that makes a big difference. I'm on the wrong computer to get to what I'm looking for here. Let's see, the Dow futures.
Oh, you have a special machine that's like your trading machine where you have your level 2 screens and you have all of your...
I got 10 screens and I poke away at
and you
them.
Sit in the middle in a big cushy black chair, buy, sell, hold, short that fucker.
So it was up 305 today. So let's see where the futures are here. There should be some aftermarket numbers floating around.
Well, you can get that on Bloomberg.
Yeah, I've become an addict to Yahoo.
Really, Yahoo Finance?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting.
Here it is.
I used to watch them a lot.
U.S. stocks and index futures fall after Obama win.
Yeah, I'm. Let me see.
So it futures. Went down. There's a Reuters story on it. We lost. It just went down 1.6%. Yeah, it's been going up a couple of days. This is just a correction, I think.
So I've got futures, Dow down 137. Oh, it should open flat at least. S&P 500. No, actually, these are pretty significant. This may be in the hundreds on the downside.
Maybe.
Yeah. Could be in the... That's what I've learned how to do this from Mark, my friend on CNBC, the chubby guy.
And
my girlfriend. Ah, she looked so beautiful last night, Erin Burnett. Did you see her?
You're getting a crush on this woman.
Getting? Are you kidding me? It's out in the open. I'm sitting there with Patricia, going like, "Oh man,
you and Rush Limbaugh.
I love her. I love her." And Patricia go like, "Well, she's kind of nerdy." I said, "Precisely."
Yeah,
that's exactly
totally
it. She's she's not classic beauty, but oh man, and she's single.
I'm sure she doesn't have too much trouble getting a date.
I know, man. She's got a tough
life.
Probably
she's
got to get up really. What are you trying to? What is this, John? Can I have a half a dream for a second here? Oh, she's probably seen somebody. Tell me she's lesbian next, please. Anything.
She doesn't seem to have any of those earmarks.
Oh man, but that would complete the picture, wouldn't it?
So maybe the Dow's going to fall tomorrow. It's possible.
But usually these
little bumps, and then the thing's going to bounce down back to its bottom, you know, where it's just kind of like going to build a base. It's got to build a base, a foundation.
Yeah. I have money riding on 72.86 as a bottom.
I don't think it's ever going to get there ever. Now, one of my friends says that he's expecting, I think I mentioned this before, he's expecting this thing to fall apart in April. And, market's done that a couple of times in the spring. It's not common.
Fundamentally, I mean, this is, look, here's what will probably happen. Let's just get back to the elections a little bit for a second. Because what is going to happen tomorrow? What's the spin going to be? I'm pretty sure that... Wall Street knows that their contribution to electing Barack Obama, which was, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Huge.
Yeah, if not hundreds, who knows. They know that there's nothing that he can implement until he's actually in office. So nothing is going to change. I predict actually there's going to be a lot of negative spin from the markets. They're all going to be in an anticipatory state. You know, we can't really do anything. We have to see what the new president's going to do. I think they're going to spin this negative, honestly.
What would be the point of that?
Because there's no change. There's nothing. There is no change at the moment. They can't do anything. And the thing they're least unsure about is, you know, at least probably with McCain, they would have had an idea of, all right, you know, yeah, we'll raise taxes, but it won't be raised on us. Everyone knows that this $1 trillion, or really it's more like $3 trillion probably that's been pumped in to the system has to come from somewhere. And it has to come either from more borrowing or from taxes, neither of which really bode well.
Yeah, I'm looking at some articles here where they're predicting what effect he's going to. I wrote a thing called How to Obama-Proof Your Portfolio.
Oh, good one. Is that a Market Watch?
It's in Market Watch. Yeah. Of course I got it. And when you read it, you can kind of figure out who it was that was given. It's like I'm quoting some very rich person that we both know who has his personal theory about what to do with your money. It's, you know, it's kind of conservative, but much of it has to do with getting your money out of a lot of stuff that might not work out. And but he did have one interesting comment, which was he thinks a lot of this green stuff that's going to be probably emphasized by this administration will invite a lot of scammers. Because when you have just a bunch of money flying around like that, you're going to find a bunch of real flaky, kind of sketchy companies cropping up all over the place, and you have to be really concerned about that.
Well, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of cap and trade systems that are going to be put into effect.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this Reuters article on how U.S. stock sectors could fare in an Obama administration. There's no byline. It's Reuters, actually. Yeah, Reuters. But he goes on the solar wind power. This whoever wrote this, shares of solar energy companies, and he's got a bunch of them listed here. Might be kind of interesting. It's probably an article to read.
There was a big there was a big brouhaha over here. They've done the numbers. Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, you know, of course, he's basically talking the same shit all world leaders are, and he's saying, "Oh, we'll create 100,000 jobs in wind energy alone." And so they've done the numbers and they said, well, with the kind of money you're pumping into it, which is only like 100 million pounds or something or whatever, they say, you know, you might create 10,000 jobs, not 100,000.
There's a lot of exaggeration. I mean, yeah. The other thing that kind of bothers me about Obama, although I mean, anyone would do this, is the it's all these promises. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and it's like, you know, we're going to spend this, and we're going to do that, we're going to fix this, and we're going to fix that. Well, let's get a list and write it down and see what actually gets done. I just think it's going to be, a continuation of the Clinton administration. That would be good, actually. I didn't think that ruined the country by any means. But the bad possibility is that would be a continuation of the Carter administration. It'd be Carter II. He never did have a second term. I don't think he did that well.
Well, so this is kind of interesting because while you were saying that, I went to BarackObama.com, which, by the way, has the entire list. And it's very detailed, and it's all you can save PDFs.
Do a screen capture while you can.
No, I've saved all the PDFs because they have those as PDFs. Now, I just went to the site again. These guys are slick. I like the way they operate. Big thank you banner. Change can happen. Thank you. It says, you proved that change can happen. You built an unprecedented grassroots organization in all 50 states that brought a record number of people into the political process, many for the first time, many for the first in a long time. Our success required unprecedented resources, and our Democratic National Committee played a major role on the ground efforts that generated record turnout up and down the ticket. Please make a donation to the DNC to help fund the efforts.
They never let up.
Here it is. When you donate $30 or more, you'll receive a limited edition shirt to show your support for change. They don't let up.
No, they don't let up. Those guys really know how to grab money.
Hey, by the way, this is... Holy crap. So wait a minute. There's actually no more menus. Oh, wait, skip the donation and go to the website. Boy, that freaked me out. I'm like, don't tell me they took everything offline. No, okay.
No, it's all there.
Yeah. That's different.
I think it's funny, though, the splash page is now another thing to collect more money. I hate to tell you guys this, but won.
Yeah, no, but that's the beginning. That's the beginning. Here's where we start to take money away from you. We start with the homepage. Come on,
welcome Hillary supporters. Get involved. And here's the Obama mobile. Text HOPE to 62262. I guess I don't know, maybe some of that money goes to the group. Okay. Organize locally with our online tools. Yeah, these guys are just so much I mean, it's just kind of embarrassing because, you mean, the Republicans at one time, in terms of their marketing strategies, were way ahead of the Democrats, especially with direct mail and things like that.
Oh, go ahead.
Once the internet came along, it's just like the, you know, especially with guys like Joe Trippi, who is like one of the really smartest internet. He's the guy who did the Howard Dean thing. He made, you know, the guy a household name before anybody ever saw him. You know, he was collecting money left and right for that guy. And they just heads and shoulders above the Republicans with this stuff. The Republican stuff is Mickey Mouse compared to the
It's like my first Sony versus an HD camera. And what I was most impressed by was the social engineering. The way they, there were a number. I heard about a number of astounding things they put together. You would donate, then you would get recruited into calling people. They'd match last names, so like Jewish last names would get Jewish last names to call. Irish last names would get Irish last names to call. They had kind of like one of those reverse VoIP type systems, I believe, so that you weren't actually paying for any of the phone calls. And then, you know, calls would get automatically connected to your home phone, you know, where they ring the same, you know, both ends ring at the same time. And a lot of really good, smart technology that was put in here.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Now, the only thing I find kind of interesting here, it seems to me they don't have Obama's acceptance speech posted yet.
I don't see that either. That's very interesting.
That's kind of surprising. You'd think they would have, or even have it, the video of it or something. They don't have any of it. They're probably too busy getting plastered. Seriously.
I'm looking at the defense plan that Obama has put together. If you think we're getting less war, go read that.
Well, you know, my dad used to always say, you know, this was an old, you know, union guy who was had all those stereotypes of the two parties. Democrat, obviously. I was raised a Democrat myself.
Yeah.
He used to always have this one thing. He says, you know, the Democrats are the war party and the Republicans are the depression party.
Yeah. An Obama-Biden administration is going to work in cooperation with our allies and private sector to identify and protect against emerging cyber threats.
Hmm. Whatever that means.
Well, there goes your internet.
Well, you know what happened in Australia while you were sleeping? They've essentially decided that they're going to just censor the whole net the way the Chinese do.
Yeah, but this has been. In fact, there was a question about that. Because we talked about it on the show that we did over the weekend. And, that's effectively the way China's doing it. But I've received reports from people in Finland that say that that's been going on in Finland for a long time. And there are apparently other countries that we just, you know, and people don't really know about it, I guess. And the overarching question is, how does anyone even really think they can? Well, there's two questions. One is, what is, quote, illegal content? Apparently, in Australia, they're talking about hardcore porn. Not pedophilia, but, hardcore porn. Mm-hmm. You know, why is that illegal all of a sudden? You know, that's my question.
I think it's always illegal there, or it's illegal here.
What constitutes hardcore porn versus regular porn? Now, come on, John, tell me, what is it?
My understanding, I mean, it depends. I think
where do you draw the line?
Well, in the United States, it used to always be some sort of, I forgot they had a term for it. It's like locally, you know, you determine it, on a local basis and you can make it, you know, this would be not hardcore in California, but it would be in Tennessee.
Come on, man. That's ridiculous. So what you're saying is there is no law. There is no description of what constitutes hardcore.
No, it's totally vague.
It's bullshit. I mean, it's stuff that when two people can do this stuff together, I mean, how can that ever be illegal?
I'm just saying.
So Australia, did they actually implement it? I mean, I don't think it's not implemented yet, but has it been signed into law now officially?
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know. We blogged it. I wrote about it, and I've long since forgot what it.
It doesn't matter. It's coming next to America. I guarantee it.
Well, it's coming everywhere. But the thing that's kind of interesting is the fact that nobody wants to face the reality that this isn't about porn.
Of course not.
It's about control of content. In other words, if you can stop, you know, if you get the systems in place that you can stop this sort of thing, you can now, you know, start scanning for political messages that might be
like this
against
show.
The guy you're for.
Like this show. This show will be off the air within 10 years, I guarantee it. And that'll be
let's hope to God it is.
I was waiting for that.
Jeez.
Oh, man. Now, so definitely, if you listeners, if you have a chance, because I know a lot of you have not done it. A lot of you have. But go to BarackObama.com and just look at all the plans. Save them, because that is essentially what we'll be talking about for at least the next 4 years. Because, I, you know, all right, I like plans. Let's run it against the plan. And let's see how happy we are with a lot of it. I don't think we will be. Doubling up in Afghanistan, doubling up on home security.
Well, you know, the one thing you have to do is you have to say, look, this guy got elected. Let's see.
We support him.
You and I think that he's not going to do what he says.
Well, no. You and I think that he is a fantastic, charismatic guy who is front and center for what I call the shadow government. I won't put you in that spot. And that there is absolutely, you know, this is an organized plan. It's beautifully executed. But I don't know if it's necessarily going to be the best thing for America.
Right, something like that. The point is that let's see what, you know, what he can actually accomplish. I don't know what he's going to accomplish. And the other problem is, of course, is what the Biden formula for fear, which was the thing about bad's going to happen.
Yeah, in January.
It wouldn't be, you know, the thing is that there is a cycle, it's not really a cycle, but it's like the Al-Qaeda guys, that group, they really did have an 8-year thing. Every 8 years, they like to pull some stunt. So that would be next year sometime. Who knows when? September 11th, perhaps.
Oh, please.
In fact, I would seriously be out of the stock market on September 11th.
How about out of the country?
These things are like incidents, you know, that people freak out about it, but it's like, you know, you're not touched by it generally. And the stats are very low for being affected by terrorism. It's almost, you know, more likely to get hit by a safe falling from a building. But anyway, the point is that September 11th would be kind of an opportune moment and, to make a point, and I would just be out of the market. I would just have to be in cash or something, you know, be in some gold bars or something like that on September 11th of 2009. I'm just saying. And again, one of the things I'm still concerned about is the Los Angeles airport, because of the fact that they took a shot at it once before, and so why wouldn't they try it again?
Top of the list for Homeland Security, Obama will responsibly end the war in Iraq. Focus on the right battlefield, which, of course, is Afghanistan, says it right there. An Obama administration will work with other nations to strengthen their capacity to eliminate shared enemies, which means selling them weapons. Barack Obama and Joe Biden will improve the American intelligence apparatus by investing in its capacity to collect, analyze information from us, share information with other agencies, carry out operations to disrupt terrorist operations and networks. They're going to, the Battle of Ideas. There we go. A $2 billion global education fund to work to eliminate the global education deficit and offer alternative to extremist schools. Oh, boy.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy.
That is, that's a boondoggle of some sort that's going to go in somebody's pockets.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway... And, of course, somehow there was no message from Al-Qaeda endorsing McCain and
Obama.
No,
that didn't
show.
Weren't we waiting for some kind of terrorist...
Something.
Yeah, terrorist message.
So they, you know, of course, there was a pronouncement on one of the big news networks that, according to the government, they have shut down the Al-Qaeda this just, you know, when I heard this, it's just an eye roller. They shut down Al Qaeda's access to the internet.
Wow, they're so cool.
And I'm thinking, really?
Shut up.
They did that.
Yeah, because they went to the guys' homes, they know where they live, and they just pulled the plug.
It seems to me that's what you have to conclude. If they know where these guys are and they could do that.
Yeah, they just
pull their cable modem up.
Yeah. Oh no, God forbid, that would end the war on terror.
So I don't know what they're thinking there. And this, I think this is going to be more of the same. This kind of farcical security situation.
Well, this is good. I was just going to say this is good because we now have a real movement in the United States. In fact, to some degree, a global movement. 80% of Brits would have voted for Barack Obama had we not had that whole Tea Party thing. And now we just need to stay aware and awake and watch what happens and call him on it. You know, call him on things he's promised to do. And use that same energy, that same, something that's very unique to America to police this thing and make sure that it happens and that we get what we want, or, you know, hopefully a little more than change and hope.
So one of the things that there was one of the kind of, expert that came on, if you want to call him that, Tom DeLay was on one of the shows, and he was on MSNBC with Chris Matthews, who was mocking him.
DeLay is an ex congressman.
Yeah, no, Tom DeLay used to be the head. I think, you know, he was a big shot in Congress, and he was indicted in Texas, and he's a creepy looking kind of a corrupt character.
Was it Enron related as well? Wasn't there some shit with him going on there?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, probably. I mean, he's Texas, right. You know, makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, to DeLay, now he retired, and he's like, now he shows up once in a while to take pot shots, which, you know, I admire personally. I think I like to listen to these guys that are, you know, taking a shot from the outside. And he says that the real situation that's going to evolve, because the Democrats have got the House, they've got the Senate, and they got the executive offices, is going to be a battle of wills between Nancy Pelosi and Obama as to who's going to be the dog on top. And And he went on and on about it, and it made nothing but sense to me. But Chris Matthews thinks that, you know, he was thinking that everything was going to be hunky dory, and he called DeLay a hater for even suggesting such a thing could evolve. But it actually made some sense to me that something like that would happen, because, you know, I think, you know, if anyone's going to try to push around Obama, I don't think it's going to be some foreign leader right out of the chute. I think it's going to be, you know, Nancy Pelosi and her, you know, minions.
Oh, no, they're totally controllable. They know how to control Pelosi. They got no problem with that. They got her to run the whole bailout program. She did great on that for them.
Yeah, for them, but, you know, is Obama going to play ball?
Dude, of course. Here's another one that I like. This Barack Obama will appoint a deputy national security advisor to be in charge of coordinating all U.S. programs aimed at reducing the risk of nuclear terrorism and weapons proliferation. We're going to get all kinds of people in. And Pelosi, they totally know how to control her. It's the same people. Why would you think that the people who...
Yeah, I know, your people, your Brzezinski group.
Well, but it's logical. Wall Street pushed for that.
I'm not absolutely sure that there's only, you know, that there's not competing groups here. You kind of think that there's a unified shadow government.
Yes.
That it's got, you know, that yes. is, that they have a meeting every once in a while.
No, they get together. Yes, they do. It's called the Bilderberg Group. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, there we go. I heard this stuff in the 60s. Anyways,
and again, you and your generation let that shit go in the 60s, and now we have to clean it up. So thank you very much. Yes, exactly. You've been hearing it for that long.
Then it is bull now. These are drinking clubs. So
yeah, but that's that's how it works. What do you think lobbyists are? They're drinking clubs, whoring clubs. It's too late to hear this from me, isn't it? You can't handle
we'll
me.
See.
You can't no, handle I mean, me after midnight. Ross,
I just soon go to bed, but you know the. listening to this, you know, we'll see. Let's just see how it plays out. I'm guaranteeing you there's going to be some fights going on between, just to see who's going to take credit for all the changes that are going to, you know,
everyone's going to be taking credit. Everyone is going to be saying, we said we'd give you change. Here's change.
Yeah. Then the change is going to be what is going to be left in your pocket.
Yeah. Here's change for your dollar. Thank you very much.
You want to change? Here's your change. Chunk.
All right. All right, John, I'm going to let you go to sleep. I think we could talk for a long, long time still.
Yeah, I don't know that we contributed anything to the conversation for our listeners who wanted us to do something after this thing, but I guess a few of them will get a kick out of it.
Well, and of course, what most will say is, hey, wait a minute. You guys, John, you guys predicted McCain would win. How about conceding on that?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that because I've been pretty good at this. But, you know, what happened is somebody pointed out, I mean, McCain walked into a buzzsaw. I mean, you had the economy collapse. You had the financial crisis. Everyone hated Bush. I mean, there was no way this guy's going to win. If the things were going the way they were 2 years ago when I made my prediction, and I will tell you again what it was, you may have heard it. 2 years ago, I predicted that Hillary would run as president and Obama would run as vice president and McCain would run as president, and with the vice president being mayor of New York, Giuliani, which at the time made a lot of sense. Giuliani obviously was blown out because he couldn't do this. And then they flipped. The other ones flipped over, so Obama ended up with the thing. Who knew that was going to happen? I knew he was going to get on the ticket, but I didn't think he was going to be the top guy. He didn't take Hillary, got rid of her. So we have still pretty much close to my prediction 2 years later, but it flipped again, and Obama and his merry men, you know, just blew me out of the water. I thought it was, since I was so far out on this, at least I should get some credit for coming damn close.
No, you get zero credit. In fact, in fact, I need to hear you say you were wrong because you still haven't actually admitted it.
I was wrong.
There you go.
I was wrong, wrong, wrong. Who knew?
Yeah. Well,
I actually had said it. To how wrong I was the following. I had told people that Obama was not electable.
Yes, that's right. No, you said an Obama-Hillary ticket would be unelectable.
Right, but I also said both, but at the same time, if anyone else was listening to my blather, would have heard me say that Obama wasn't electable and Hillary wasn't electable, and it would be doubly bad if they ran together on the same ticket. And I still think that might have been true, and that's maybe the Obama people thought that, and that's why they didn't want her. But whatever the case is, they did everything right, and I was dead wrong on all of it.
There goes our credibility.
Yeah, we don't have any credibility.
We don't know anything about nothing.
We don't need credibility just to sit here and shoot the shit.
Oh, that's it. Credibility? We don't need no stinking credibility.
But anyway, I still think I came closer than most people did at that, with a long shot from a long distance.
Well,
I still lost a bunch of bets. Yep. And I won one bet, though.
Which was that?
Well, a friend of mine, you know him, John Markoff of the New York Times. Mm-hmm. I've been beating him on these election bets for like a, I don't know, 15, 20 years. And he knew what the bet was going to be, which was, you know, me taking McCain. And he refused to do the bet and insisted on reversing the bet.
Really?
So he took McCain with the thing that he couldn't be depressed under any circumstances, because if, you know, McCain won, you know, he would get the $100 from me. And if McCain or if Obama won, he would give me the $100 and still be happy. This is kind of logic we're dealing with here with the New York Times.
I was just going to say New York Times. There you go. Little insight.
So he lost the bet. He actually voted for McCain or bet on McCain, but he did it on knowing that he can't beat me on a bet. And so he reversed the whole thing, and he may actually be the reason I've been winning all these bets for all these years, because whatever he does is always
wrong.
Always wrong. So I got $100 from him. So nice. Although these aren't real wagers for anyone listening. It's a virtual 100.
Oh, really?
No.
I bet Bloom the 7286 by February 14th.
72
7286 by February 14th.
He took that. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
$100. That's an interesting bet. That's an interesting bet because there is a foundation number that's around 7,200 somewhere that where the thing actually could do that. I mean, the market could go there. It wouldn't go much below.
No.
I mean, based on what all these experts say, I don't think it's going to do it. I think it's going to stabilize or, you know, in the next week or two and then start to creep up.
Well, it potentially all of this could be really, really good because, first of all, people are feeling good. If the market, again, it looks like it will open down, this morning. But if the market, you know, continues to hold out for a while, we can have a nice Christmas. People will spend a little bit more. You know, we're feeling better. We know those checks are coming in the mail. So we're all going to spend $1,000 on presents for our kids. That's going to help the economy. In general, that could be a nice little spark.
Yeah, no, I think that's what everyone thinks is going to happen. I think it's going to happen. I think that is what's going to happen. But I actually, based on my, and I got to get this material finished shortly, based on my big picture of the way I see things going, I think it's not going to do a dipsy-do here. I think it's going to build a base, start to take off. Obama's going to do some good things. Some things are going to look better. Maybe we'll even get us out of Iraq, which would be interesting. I don't think so. But anyway,
Straight out of Iraq into Afghanistan. He says it right there. He's going to double up the efforts in Afghanistan.
Well, maybe he should get us out of Iraq. But whatever the case is, it'll change the financing of the whole thing. And the next thing you know, you might get a big burst at the end of the year, which would be ideally take us, well, ideally it's a bad thing, but it could crash big time after running up to 25,000, 30,000, something like that. I'm thinking a Dow at 25,000. And my bet is that the Dow is going to hit, I guess, 15. I have a specific bet with a broker
15,
friend.
15,000?
15,000 before it hits 6.
Wow. That would be a huge swing to the upside. Wow.
That's just for that bet. My personal belief is that when the Dow takes off, it's going to hit 25 or 30,000.
Oh my God! When is this taking place?
It could happen next year.
25,000? That's astronomical, John.
Just make a note.
Well, if
people don't believe it's going to hit 25,000, that's fine. But if it does, my advice is to get out.
Around 25,000. I'm taking profits there.
You have to remember that during the 1929 crash, we had a very similar situation as we have economically now. In fact, you should look at banks falling apart back then. The Dow Jones essentially tripled during the year 1929, and it did it pretty much within about a three-month period. It tripled, completely tripled. That means it would go from 10,000 to 30,000. There's no reason it can't do it again.
Wow. You're right. And then we'll make all that money on our index funds, and then what? Then it goes down to 6,000?
We're screwed.
Then the money becomes worthless.
Now, that could happen. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Things don't never happen the same way twice. That's the real problem. They're always a little skewed. But,
that's what makes life interesting.
Well, it makes it, yeah, I guess. But anyway, so I could be wrong. This might not happen. We might just have kind of a bouncy market and then, you know, think by 2013, I'm guaranteeing we're going to be in the middle of a depression. This will be my next long-term gamble.
I'm looking at your Market Watch column about how to Obama-proof your portfolio.
Yeah.
I like this line. While I normally do not like using anonymous sources, I have to in this instance for personal and political reasons. This advice comes from a Forbes 100 richest investor friend who is risk-averse and has been thinking about Obama-proofing his portfolio. So you know that this is going to drive me nuts, right? I got to figure out who it is.
After the show's over, you'll figure it out. I'll tell you who it is.
No, I want to figure it out. Don't spoil it for me.
I want you to figure it out.
Then. But if I nail it on the show, will you admit it in the show, or are you not going to do that?
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay. All right. But enough about Larry Ellison.
I haven't talked to Larry for a long time, so it's definitely not him.
I'm just throwing that out, man.
I was at his house, though.
I know you were. I know you were. His hotel room.
Yeah, the hotel room. All right.
Hey, John, listen, man, you got to go to bed.
I have a meeting tomorrow.
Well, we both have a meeting. I got the same meeting, except I get to stay up, and that starts at 5:30 this afternoon, my time. You got to get used to this coastal living, my friend. Bi-coastal.
I may just call in the meeting.
No, you should go. It's a good one. It's an all-hands meeting. We've changed the name now.
Yeah, I know. I got that. All hands. All hands on deck. All hands on deck, Navy man.
That's exactly what it is. Woo-hoo! All hands on deck. That'll be good. All right. So I would appreciate if we could still do a show on Saturday, even though we kind of got a little bit deeper than just Obama this morning or this evening for you.
We could probably do a show on Saturday. If it depends on what our listeners want.
Okay, let us know. That's such a dumb thing to say.
And send your email to
john@dvorak.org. All right. That's it, everyone, for this post-election no agenda. Coming to you from the United Kingdom, my name's Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak in Northern Silicon Valley.
And we'll talk to you again next week right here on No Agenda.